Let me bring you to the armor of God, and there we will recognize the life of a believer. Okay, when Paul spoke about the armor of God, he was in jail, maybe house arrest, and he was surrounded by soldiers. That gave him an idea of how the believer should be equipped to fight these forces.
Today we're going to hear about the armor of God, and as most of us know, there are a lot of pieces to put on. The belt, the breastplate, the helmet, the shield, the sword, and the shoes. Now, if you think that's a lot of extra weight to carry around, consider for a moment what the average U.S. soldier carries on him when he's out on the mission field. At least 60 pounds of gear, and if they are on extended patrol, that amount will double. What strikes us is the difference between the armor of flesh and blood and the spiritual armor. The more items of protection, hence the more weight that the soldier has to carry around, the more protected he is. For the believer, the more armor we use in our spiritual warfare, the lighter we feel, the more freedom we actually experience. We too are at war with the world, the devil, and even our own sin nature. And while our armor protects us from the outside shrapnel and darts that are thrown our way, our armor also protects us on the inside. The Word of God, represented by the belt of truth and the sword of the Spirit, will help bring every thought into captivity that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. That is where the battle actually begins, with the temptations and the motivations of our heart. Now, one last item that must not be forgotten in the armor of God is prayer. Prayer is a weapon, and as a soldier needs to be in communication with his commanding officer, so must we always be in communication with our commander in chief. We need to tell him where we are and what kind of reinforcements we need. In fact, prayer is the only offensive weapon that we have, for we know that it is not by might nor by strength, but by my spirit, says the Lord. For we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Welcome to Shalom Ariel, and welcome to our continuing study in the book of Daniel with Messianic leader Jacques Isaac Gabizon. Be blessed as you listen in, and Shalom.
Now that we know there's a demonic world out there to hinder the spread of the word of God and to fight, that is to oppress believers, how do we fight it? How do we get victory over it? While Daniel teaches us by example, right, Paul lists for us these elements which make Daniel, and himself, by the way, so powerful. He lists these elements which made Daniel and all the prophets, all the men and women of God in the scriptures, so powerful. Let us stay with Ephesians 6 and link it actually to Daniel 10. This section in the New Testament will help us to resume Daniel's life. And this is a good review because we're coming close to the end of the book here. Let me bring you to the armor of God. And there we will recognize the life of a believer. Okay, when Paul spoke about the armor of God, he was in jail, maybe house arrest. And he was surrounded by soldiers. That gave him an idea of how the believer should be equipped to fight these forces. And so the first element is the one which gave power and stability to Daniel. The armor begins with the words, "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth." Okay, the belt of truth, which is the word of God. The knowledge of the word of God, as a weightlifter wears a belt before he can lift anything that is heavy. We need the word of God so that we can engage in any battles that come to us. And this is what sustained Daniel, especially from the beginning. While the temple of God, while Jerusalem was being destroyed, right? Daniel did not lose heart. You know why? Because he knew the word of God. He knew the prophecies. He knew the prophecy of Jeremiah. In fact, he mentions Jeremiah. He mentions Moses. He mentions all the prophets because he knew his word. That's what made Daniel so powerful. The second piece of the armor is the breastplate of righteousness, which protects the heart. In the scriptures, the heart is the place of our emotions, of our feelings. Satan, as an accuser, does not only accuse us to God, but he accuses us to ourselves. So that we condemn ourselves and fill our hearts with guilt to the point where we cannot think properly and let go of everything. How many believers just let go of everything? This is when we feel defeated. We feel anxious, stressed, oppressed, depressed, and guilty. And so what? You can't do any works like this. But this righteousness is the Messiah's righteousness, not ours. We're not believers in our own merits, but because Yeshua, Jesus, died for our sins, so we can stand up in His righteousness. Daniel, I want to tell you, wore it so well throughout all his life, from chapter 1 to chapter 12. He is one of the most stable and consistent men in history, in fact, right? When he learned that Nebuchadnezzar wanted to kill all the magi in the kingdom, he did not panic. What did he do? He prayed. He believed. When he was condemned to the lion's den, he did not fall into depression. Surely he was affected, but he was strong. He knew his God. He knew his God and kept a life of obedience, which helped him not to allow any circumstances to affect him or to affect his work. Really, the only time that we see Daniel disturbed in the Bible, you know, was for the sake of the people of Israel. He mourned for them, not for himself. Never complained. The next items are the shoes. You know, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Right? The shoes represent the foundation of one's being, by the way. In biblical times, you know, shoes represented much more than they represent today. You know, according to an article I read from the Jewish Quarterly Review, the author spoke of the importance of shoes and quoted one rabbi who said that only he who has shoes is a man. Okay? Meaning that only one who has a strong foundation is a man. Another said that in the shoe, the value of a man finds its expression, right? If one's foundation is not straight, there's nothing there. There's even a story about a woman who scorns a rabbi by telling him that her father's shoe was worthier than his entire family. Right? Here in Ephesians, the shoe represents the sure foundation of a believer, one in which and spreads peace. Right around the gospel of peace, it says. And we have seen how Daniel spread peace everywhere he went. For he lived the word of God, which he wore as a belt and which gave him stability of mind. From this man, do you remember Arioch? Okay, who was really, you know, the word actually, he was an executioner, that is a hitman, right? But we see him so comfortable and at peace with Daniel, and it allows him so much freedom. To Nebuchadnezzar himself, who hires Daniel as prime minister of Babylon. And you know what? Him and Babylon were so blessed to have Daniel there. And even to angels, who spoke to him with so much tenderness and reminded him three times that he is the beloved of heaven. Actually, you know, I think that Daniel ministered to this angel who just came back from a battle, and he found solace in him. That is carrying the shoes of the gospel of peace. That's what the word of God does, right? Next is the shield of faith, right? Above all, it says, verse 16, okay, taking the shield of faith in which you will be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one, right? This faith speaks of our confidence in God. You need to know God. Like a shield, it allows nothing to affect our relationship with God. The enemy will always try to isolate us, to make us believe that God doesn't care about us anymore. Faith will tell you otherwise. Daniel had it throughout all his life. He had complete confidence in God, and nothing else impressed him. You know, it's very hard to impress a man of faith, right? He was not impressed by the great king Nebuchadnezzar. He even scolds him. Do you remember in chapter 4, after declaring the interpretation of the dream, he says, "Therefore, O king, let my advice be acceptable to you. Break off your sins and be righteous." You don't say that to a king, right? Only a powerful shield of faith could have a captive say to a mighty king to repent of his sins. We don't know what the king's reaction was, not the magician in this place, you know. But I believe that God may have deafened their ears, because that could have put Daniel's life in danger. Okay. Nor was Daniel actually shy of Nebuchadnezzar's grandson, Belshazzar. When this one offered him gold and a third of his kingdom, do you remember what he said to him? He says, "Let your gift be to yourself and give your rewards to another." Okay, he could have been killed right there and then. This, I want to tell you, is power of faith. Right? For without it, okay, there's nothing, really. We wouldn't have had Daniel today. And the next element is the helmet of salvation, right? What this helmet does in battle is to protect the most vital part of your body, that is the head. The head. This one speaks of one's assurance of his relationship with God. This helmet says, no matter what happens, God will protect me. The life of Daniel shows that he could have never had doubted that God would forsake him at any time. For this is what some believe, by the way, even today. Like when they say that they can lose their salvation. That's a lie. Not so with Daniel. When the king, by the way, decreed that anyone worshiping anyone but himself, the king, this one would be thrown in the lion's den, okay? By the way, this did not stop Daniel to go and to pray, right? Because he knew. He had this helmet of salvation. Whether in death or in life, he knew that God would be with him. Today, many doubt their salvation, but to doubt your salvation is to tell Yeshua that his work on the cross, on the tab, is not powerful, that your sins are more powerful than his. The next element, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. See, you know, it begins with a word, and it ends with a word. And with it, we have the mention of the Spirit of God, for he is the dispenser of the word of God. Without the Spirit, you cannot understand what is happening. And three times, you know, that Nebuchadnezzar confessed that Daniel had the Spirit of God in him. Right? Even his wife, later on, said that he has the Spirit of God. There's one last element, okay? Not separated from the others, but included with each one of them. You know what it is? Yes, it's there. The last element of this armor is not compared to anything else, but is that one element which should be used all the time. This is the one which all others are immersed in, prayer. Prayer. But all of this, he says, should be in praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end. This, I want to tell you, Daniel did powerfully. By the way, I would give him a title. He's the Prince of Prayer in the Scriptures, right? Amen. This was his strength. We've seen from the very beginning how prayer was a major part of his life. Right at the beginning, you know, when his life and that of his friends was in danger, what did he do? He organized a prayer meeting. It says in Daniel chapter 2, 17, 18, then Daniel went to his house and made decision known to Hananiah, Michael, and Azariah, his companion, that they may seek mercies from the God in heaven. Right? And it was right after the prayer that the secret and the dream was revealed in its interpretation. Right away. God didn't wait. Okay? Then we read that Daniel prayed three times a day. Okay, by the way, he must have loved being in communion with God, because nowhere in the scripture is it required for anyone to pray three times a day. But he made it his law, and even in threat of his physical life, he did not stop to pray. And we remember in chapter 9 how Gabriel was dispatched as soon as he began to pray, as if heaven was waiting for Daniel to pray. And here in chapter 10, another angel told them the same thing, that as he began to pray, the answer was on its way. And we have seen how his prayer causes spiritual warfare in the heavenlies. Powerful prayers, isn't it?
Don't go away. We'll be right back with the second half of our program coming up just after this message. As we wind up for the second part of our program today, we would like to remind our listeners how blessed and privileged we feel to be part of your radio day. We pray that the messages you hear will instruct you, edify you, and encourage you to love the Lord more and follow Him into obedience in even greater ways. We are all changed by the challenges and transformed by the trials of life. And as we walk them together, we keep looking up to Him who is mighty to break down the walls of Jericho that stand before us and to hand over to us the spiritual victories in life. Yeshua has broken down the greatest barrier, the greatest wall that has separated us from God the Father. Thank you, listeners, for joining us in prayer and in financial support for this ministry. If you have it on your heart to give to this ministry, then you can by logging on to our congregation website at bethariel.ca. And if God leads you to contribute from the treasures that God has blessed you with, for the continuation of this radio ministry. Shalom, shalom, as we begin part two of today's program.
Today, many tend to go from one extreme to another, right? It was C.S. Lewis who said, There are two equal of opposite errors into which our race can fall about the devils. One is to disbelieve their existence. The other is to believe and feel an unhealthy interest in them. That's so true.
It's all about balance. A proper body balance allows our body to move forward with the least amount of energy waste. The scale that we weigh ourselves on is a balance of weights. The more I eat, the more the scale will tip. And that's why we are recommended to have a balanced diet. We need to have a balanced view of the demonic world. What are the two extremes? Well, some will totally dismiss the existence of demons or become complacent concerning their power, while on the other side of the scale, they will blame every sin as the devil made me do it, or they will feel they can fight and confront the demons on their own. When we are complacent, we don't even realize those darts that are being shot at us. If demons don't exist, neither does spiritual warfare. And that's how Satan gets the victory. Complacency is the feeling of being satisfied with how things are and not wanting to try to make them better. Complacency is laziness in our battle to move forward and to grow and mature in the Messiah. We are, after all, a spectacle to angels and to men. How to begin the fight against complacency? Remember the balanced diet. Learn the Word of God. Read, study, and show yourself approved. And pray. Open up the channel of communication with your Heavenly Father and see all the blessings that are in store for you. Complacency is like wanting to use the escalator to go up to the second floor. But you see, you're stepping on the down escalator. So if you don't keep climbing but stay motionless, you will continue to descend back from where you started. Good advice? Don't tolerate your sin any longer. Focus on your heart and not on your outward actions. Balance your footing between earth and heaven. You will soon be home to recount with all the others how much the Lord did for you. Let's never lose sight of the battle and the healthy balance that we are to have between heaven and earth. Welcome to Shalom Ariel, and welcome to our continuing study in the book of Daniel with Messianic leader Jacques Isaac Gabizon. Be blessed as you listen in, and Shalom.
It is in Daniel where we see James' words actually translated, okay? Where he says, the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Even today, your prayer can accomplish much if you put on this armor of God. It's not that complicated, right? Prayer then is the envelope of the armor of God. It enshrines every element, the word, the faith, the sanctification in the helmet of salvation. While all these things are so vital for the believer, let us remember the verse which opens up actually the description of the armor of God. I want to bring you there. It's verse 13 of Ephesians 6. So what it says? Therefore, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Put on the armor of God. If it begins with this way, it's because you don't naturally have it on. You need to put it on. Daniel knew this very well. This is why he has such a disciplined life, an obedient life, and he was loving. And throughout his whole ministry, by the way, of about 70 years, we have in him one of the longest ministry in the scriptures, and he kept the torch lit all the time. Remember, the Romans had a race where the runners had to complete, but it was not the fastest one, actually. It was the one who ran all the trajectory with his torch lit. We need to do that. We have a great example to follow. One last word about the demonic world. Today, many tend to go from one extreme to another, right? It was C.S. Lewis who said, there are two equal of opposite errors into which our race can fall about the devils. One is to disbelieve their existence. The other is to believe and feel an unhealthy interest in them. That's so true, right? Some dismiss the existence of demons and others have an unhealthy fixation on them, okay? Both fall into their trap. Both of them. The first group is like the one who is in the middle of a battlefield, but he doesn't know that he's being shot at. Right? He doesn't realize why he's so depressed all the time. Demons love this, for they are no threat to them. The others are those who attribute every headache to demons, right? And among them are those who believe they can fight them head on, and so they call them and confront them. Demons love this as well. You know, they play with them as one plays with a puppy. For one for they are so inefficient. The way to fight is not to address them. We ought to leave these things to angels of God. Daniel was not asked to fight the king of Persia or the king of Greece. Michael did that for him. The believer is asked to put on the armor of God. This is how you go to fight the demons, right? And keep his eyes on Jesus. You know, I've seen people who had actually, who were possessed by demons. But the moment they accepted the Lord Yeshua as their personal savior, that demon left. And what we have seen today is to tell us not to fear, but to know. While on a trip, by the way, to the zoo one day, there was a boy and his father. He saw a huge lion, right? The lion was prowling around his enclosure and letting out a chilling roar. At first sight, the boy became very frightened and screamed in terror, but his father remained calmed. Why? What was the difference? The boy was frightened because he saw only the lion, while the father was unafraid because he saw the cage around the lion, right? The believer's view of Satan should be like that of a father rather than that of a boy, okay? Because God is protecting us. You know, one last word about good angels and God. You know that angels, they're watching us. Okay, it says, 1 Corinthians 4:9, we're made a spectacle to angels and to men. I'm talking about good angels here, right? They're watching us, seeing actually how the Lord is so gracious and so patient with us. And they marvel at him, and sometimes they marvel at us as well, if you're like Daniel, of course. So, you know what? Let us impress them. Let us impress them. Let us show them how powerful we can be if we follow Daniel's example. And these angels, the Lord says, are always present. We sometimes interact with them, not realizing they are angels. This is why we ought to be very nice, right, with people. You never know who they are. And how many are there? How many good angels are there to protect us? I want to bring you to another passage. You know, once when the king of Syria made war against Israel, they found out that one that is prophets actually was telling everything to the king of Israel, and so they were losing all the wars. So they wanted to know who this prophet was. Okay, it was Elisha, by the way. So when they found out, they went and they surrounded the city where the prophet was. Okay, and Elisha's servant panicked. And this is what Elisha said. It says, and Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of a young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountains was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha, right? The whole mountain was full of good angels to protect the man of God. And he knew it, Elisha, another man, another Daniel. You know, at times God dispatches a few angels, but it seems that when it is for the protection of his own, he sends them all. And in addition to all of this, the Bible speaks of guardians angels, right? Which I believe every believer has, okay? If the nations have one, we have one. Jesus said it. Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones, that is all these believers, any of those. For I say to you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. Okay, every believer has one, and we learn here that it is not right to despise another believer, right? I don't want his angel to go tell my God that I wasn't nice with him, right? Let's love each other. I will conclude this time with the last verse of Daniel 10. Okay, look at verse 21. You have part of it in the script. It says, but I will tell you what is noted in the scripture of truth. That was the beginning of a revelation he would actually tell them. See how the Bible, our belt, is spoken of here. Scripture of truth. The word truth, remember, we've seen it in Daniel 9:13. It's the word emet. I want to show it to you. Okay? By the way, it's read from left to right. Emet. Right to left. It depends where you are, right? Okay. The word emet comes from the root word aman, which speaks of what is confirmed, what is established and upheld, okay? But see the word, actually. You know that the first letter, aleph, okay? It is the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and the last letter, tet, is the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet, right? So far, we can say that the whole truth we have at the beginning and the end. We have it in the truth that we find in the scriptures. But what about the middle letter? the mem. Many in Judaism consider the mem the center word of the Hebrew alphabet. There are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. Mem is the 13th. How can it be the center? In the alphabet, there are letters which are written in two different ways, such as the mem, the nun, the tzaddik, and so on. And so the total brings to the letters of 27, and the mem is considered the middle letter. But what does it represent? It is the first letter of the name Messiah. Messiah in the Hebrew, right? It is the word truth. In this word truth, we can see our Messiah, who is the alphabet, the aleph and the tet, that is the first and the last. Right? He is the Word of God, and in Him we find all truth. All truth in the Scriptures, okay, are found in Yeshua the Messiah. And let me show you the two ways the letter M is written in the Hebrew. One is closed, and one is opened. Right? Which way is your Messiah, is the Messiah written for you? Right now, the way is opened to Him, and He is the Savior of the world. Soon, I want to tell you, we see it in the world, it will close up, just like God closed the door of the ark. Okay, it will close up and no one would have access to his salvation. Now is the time of your salvation. Now you can ask Yeshua in your heart, and He will give you salvation that He's promised. Just invite Him. Tell Him that you recognize Him as the Jewish Messiah, as the Savior, that you are a sinner, and that you need Him. And He will surely give you eternity in heaven as a gift. For soon, the mem will close up. Let's bow our head in prayer. I will read part of a Jewish daily prayer. First, Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your presence in Your Word. We thank You for the instructions You are giving us. The great instructions, Heavenly Father, that we learn, especially in the man Daniel. Help us to be like him. Help us to put on the armor of God, to be like all these prophets, all these men and women in the Scriptures. And blessed are You. Blessed are You, O Lord, our God. The God who is great, powerful, and revered. The God most high, the Lord of heaven and earth, our shield, and the shield of our fathers. The God who increases our faith. Blessed are You, our God, for You are the shield of Abraham, the shield of the Keliath, of the body of the Messiah. You are powerful, living forever, raising the dead, bringing back the wind, pouring forth the dew. You nourish the living and give life to the dead. And to the congregation, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord makes His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Amen. May the Lord bless you all. It is my prayer that you all have been blessed by the Word of God.
Shalom Ariel is a daily radio program emphasizing the Jewish perspective of Scripture. God is not through dealing with Israel, nor will He renege any of the promises He has made to her. Our teacher for this program, Jacques Isaac Gabizon, is a Messianic Jewish believer and Messianic leader at Beth Ariel Congregation right here in Montreal. If you've been encouraged by the messages, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call at 1-888-685-5902, or you may write us at info@BethAriel.ca. You are also welcome to join us for our Saturday morning services. We are located at 6297 Monkland Boulevard, corner of Madison in NDG. The message is given in English, but we do offer a simultaneous translation into French and Russian. Services begin at 11 a.m. We have Shabbat school for children of all ages, up to and including teens. You may also download audio messages from our website at bethariel.ca and enjoy other in-depth teaching from Jacques Isaac. If you would like to sign up for informative newsletters, log on to our website and add your name to our email list. Shalom Ariel is a listener-supported program. If you have it on your heart to donate, it will be a great blessing for the continuing ministry and outreach of Beth Ariel. Thank you and Shalom.